Christmas was a few weeks ago by now, and so that's given us enough time to be able to judge. What was the best gift that you received? So, you know, our first impression might be like, oh, I don't know, it's kind of a lame gift. And then you realize that's what you're using the most. And so I invite you to think about what was the best gift that you received. I had a lot of strong competition. I mean, today I was sipping out of a Packers mug that somebody gave me. I also, just a few nights ago, was wearing some PJs someone else gave me. You know, I got some good gifts. But I invite you to think about what was the best gift that you had received this Christmas. Jesus. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the cheat answer. Like, you've been to Sunday school, you know every answer is Jesus. But no, like, the physical thing that you got. Family, very good. But like, the thing that was wrapped up, that you opened up. I'm trying to get you to be materialistic. But you don't have to say it out loud, just think about it. Now think back your whole lifetime. Best gift that you ever got. For me, it's tough, but I'm thinking maybe basketball hoop. Got it when I was 7 years old, started off a love affair that has endured to this day, in spite of 2 knee injuries and being out of shape, but still. We think about the gifts that we've received, and now we think about the best gift we've ever received in our entire lifetimes, and we might be thinking of different events that happened. We might be thinking of our spouse, our family. All of that's great. But the best gift that I ever received, I received December 30th, 1990. As a little baby, my parents gave me the great gift of having me baptized. The best gift you can ever receive. Why? Because it gives you a new identity, your deepest identity, in fact, that nobody can ever take away from you. Basketball, there's going to come a day, probably soon, where I shouldn't play it anymore. Right? All of the physical things that we get, yeah, new models will come out and we'll like those better than the old ones. Even our very family. Sometimes we're blessed with one that we get along with very well, but other times family, it's actually a wound for us, many of the members of the family. And yet the one gift that nobody could ever take away from you, that you can't even give back, is your baptism. That indelible mark that was placed on your soul of God saying, this one's mine. I love her as my daughter. I love him as my son. That is the new identity that we received at our baptism and that we rejoice in today. Because it wasn't just for Jesus that voice came down to say, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. No, that's with every single one of us. The whole reason why Jesus was baptized, it wasn't because he had sin that he had to get rid of. It wasn't because he was a stranger to the Holy Spirit. No, he's the Son of God. He's forever existed. He is one with the Spirit at all times. It was so that he, the humanity he took on, could for the first time be called the humanity of a son or daughter of God, and not just a creature of God. It was for our sake, we who would be united to him in our baptisms. Because you see, it's not just an analogy. It's not just, oh, you're like a son of God. You're like a child of God because you're created in his image. No. He actually adopts us. He actually says, you are and your deepest identity is and forever will be to be my child. And what a beautiful, beautiful thing that is. Why is it important for me to stress it over and over again to say it? Because we place our identity elsewhere, and it leads to silent self-loathing. Right? How often is it that I put my identity and therefore my worth in what I can accomplish? How much money I'm earning? How powerful a position I have at work? Whether I have a job that when I tell people about it, they go, ooh, you're one of those. Well, that's cool. My identity, I base it in my work, and because of that, it's tenuous. If I lose my job, I lose myself. It's no way to live. We base our identity in what we can produce, and how much we can earn, and how much we can impress, and how beautiful we are, in the external appearances, in the stuff I have or the power I wield. And all of that's passing. Every single one of those, tomorrow can be taken away from us. Or we place our identity in our home lives and we say, it's in my family. Well, even in family, so much is beyond your control. And so often we can start kind of silently hating ourselves because our family life isn't as peaceful as we would like. We start thinking, oh, other families, they've got it together, but mine, there's just mountains of laundry everywhere, and my kids aren't speaking to each other, and my grandkids aren't going to church. And we base our identity in that, and so we live these lives of sadness, thinking, oh, I'm just not living up to what's expected of me. Today's the day that our Lord says to us, yeah, I know that you dropped the ball here, there, and everywhere, but guess what? I'm not letting go of you. You are my girl. You are my boy. And I love you. And nothing's going to change the fact that you are one of my children. That's a reason to rejoice if I've ever heard one. Because here's the thing. Saddest of all, we often base our identity on what we've done or failed to do. We equate ourselves with our sins. And today Jesus says, no, you're more than all the sins that you've ever committed. No. No matter what you do, you're my son. You're my daughter. So come back to me. A beautiful thing happens in that room, that confessional over there. We reclaim our identity. Every time we're there, we say out loud, we say, this is the stuff I've done. These are the sins that I have committed. And this is the person that I am. And notice there's a separation. I am not the sum of my past failures. I am the sum of the Father's love for me when he looks at me and says, you're mine. And nothing even you can do can change that. So we remember that fact. We rejoice in that fact. And today we recommit ourselves to living that way. First of all, to living lives of joy. Because no matter what's going on in my life, if everything's falling apart and it seems like my whole future is crumbling in front of me, I can still sit down, reflect for a second, and realize I'm God's son. And he takes care of his children. It doesn't mean he gives them the easiest life possible. No, that's what a poor father does. A bad father is the one who says you will have no difficulties in life. You will never be equipped to face anything. You'll never be called to grow stronger. I'm just going to kind of hover and make sure that you never, ever, ever need to grow. No, God's a good father who says, you know what? Life might be rough at times, but it's going to be adventure. And I'm going to equip you for it. And I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And no matter what you do, you need to remember, you are my son, you are my daughter. So we rejoice in that fact and we recommit ourselves to living accordingly. Because a son or daughter of God the Most High should live differently than somebody who doesn't know that God is dad. Right? We should live according to the family rules, right? Every house has its rules. Well, the family of God has its rules as well. And we follow those as much as possible, not out of a sense of dry obligation, but out of a sense of tender love for the Father who preceded us in that love. So we've received the gift of being sons and daughters of God. We've recommitted ourselves to living that way. That's the best New Year's resolution, if I've ever heard one, is I want to live each day intentionally remembering I am a son or I am a daughter of God. How would I expect a son or daughter to live in this situation, in this day? But then, do we also pass on that gift? This is my heartfelt appeal to all parents. If you have not gotten your child baptized, what on earth is keeping you? I don't want to guilt you, but I kind of want to guilt you. Because it's the most beautiful gift that you're giving your children. That gift of saying, you're not just my kid, you're God's kid. You're not just a creature created in his image and likeness. He wants to adopt you as his son or as his daughter for all of eternity. He wants to give you those graces to not only survive through this life, but to thrive in this life. And so parents, please give that gift to your kids. If anything's stopping you, come, talk to me. We'll get through any obstacles that are in the way. Because I want your children to have this grace. But oftentimes many of us are asked to give that gift of baptism in another way, to serve as godparents. And sadly, so many of us have to say, sorry, I can't. What's keeping us from that? Various things could be. Maybe we never got confirmed and then just kept dragging our feet about it. Let's not let this year pass without taking steps in that direction to be fully initiated in this faith so we can help initiate the new generation in this faith. Or it's a marriage situation. Same deal where it's like, well, it's a lot of paperwork to get my marriage blessed in the church, to look at maybe one of my former unions, to the annulment process. I will work with you. Deacon Juan will work with you to get everything in order so that you can give and help pass along this inestimable gift of holy baptism. So today we rejoice. We rejoice that we have been deemed worthy and really made worthy to be called sons and daughters of God. We recommit ourselves to living as sons and daughters of God, with our heads held high no matter what's going on around us, knowing that God is Dad and Dad loves us. And then finally, we recommit ourselves to doing all that's in our power to help pass on this great gift of baptism to all those who do not yet know the joy of being sons and daughters of God.